Today is your day.
Yeah, buddy. This is by request, I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's right. Somewhere, someone's going, oh, good, more John Williams. And some people are going, wait a minute, I paid for that. Hold on, I just dropped how much?
This could be a new thing. We implement radio or commercial-free radio for an hour. No other station does that, right?
Yeah, if you listen long enough, we're going to get you a tote bag, so stick around. The snow has really been remarkable in that it's been piling up. What are the totals? 13 inches to 5 inches?
Five in some of the areas. And then the highest that I've seen so far is about 13 and a half in some of the northern and western counties.
Well, okay, so I live over by Wrigley Field, and I'm standing downtown. And in both of those locations, separated by about 5 miles as the crow flies, the snow has been the same. It's been sort of a fine snow that's been continually coming down, but it's funny that it's piling up that much when, you know, you would think if you're going to get a half a foot of snow, you'd have bigger flakes. You would have this heavy snowfall, and it's just unrelenting, and it's windy downtown. But it's you don't see big snowflakes. It just keeps coming, though.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the weird thing about traffic. You know, the plows and the salt trucks are going to be going all day because even after the snow stops with the wind, it's still getting blown around all over the place.
Well, I was hopeful, and am, for those of you who are traveling, some of whom I know, that because the salt trucks were able to get out in advance, yesterday the salt trucks were everywhere, and because it's not super freezing cold and they've had enough time to tackle this, that maybe the roads won't be as impassable as a foot of snow might otherwise make them. I was at the Jewels yesterday, and you would think that we were getting ready for Armageddon.
Yeah. Were they selling generators?
I tweeted out, if I find out that the weathermen are in cahoots with the Jewels, well, you all better not, because it's great for grocery stores. And somewhere, you know why Lou Manfredini didn't do a show today? He's running a register at his Ace Hardware store. That's why. I mean, this is good for the hardware stores. This is good for the grocery stores and drug stores and, I don't know, boot stores.
Think about how more productive we could be as a community if we just expected to have terrible snowstorms coming in.
Every weekend.
And we'd be like, oh, I need to get this done. I need to finish this.
Oh, you think we've been more productive, Joe?
We would be more productive if we thought we had to prepare for... Because how many times do you push off grocery shopping, but then, oh, it's going to snow tomorrow, so let's go stock up on 3 gallons of milk for no reason.
Mm. And it's weird, too, because it's not like the grocery stores that you go to will be inaccessible because there's 6 inches of
snow.
Right? It's not like, well, how will we survive? Well, I think we'll get in our car, which has snow tires, we'll drive on a plowed road, and there'll be milk at the store.
Right.
So we still are kind of good to go.
And you can still do the self-checkout as well. They don't even need people over there. You can grab all your milk and your generators just by yourself.
I found that I wasn't buying more stuff, but I was allowing myself stuff. Like I'm thinking, I could probably use some ice cream to get through this. So I got a half a gallon of chocolate chip ice cream. I don't normally do that, but by God, who knows how long we're going to have to be hunkered up.
Exactly.
All the guilty pleasures are justified on days like today.
Actually, yeah. I was thinking I need the calories is what it was. I think, you know, I mean, say I'm in there for months.
Hibernation, man.
And they go, "What? How will we survive?" And I go, don't worry. Forget the protein. We've got fat ice cream, and that will help us survive this storm.
Can run off that. The body can run off of that. No problem.
So, I don't know. Did you guys see the video of that UCLA gymnast this week? Wasn't that delightful?
Yeah, I did. And I thought you summed it up well. It's just, you just watch it and you bring a smile to your own face. It just slowly grows. You see the smile in her face, all the energy she's putting into this and how impressed she is with herself. And you just see that with her reaction.
So this young lady is a senior at UCLA. And she's a gymnast that maybe some people know about, but I didn't know anything about this young lady. And then all of a sudden this week, this week we saw the video, she gets this 10 on her floor routine, and it's set to Michael Jackson music, and is her Beatles song. It seems like every pass there's another tune there, and it's just really fun to watch, and she's so joyful. So I reached out to her coach, producer Ella found the coach, and we recorded a conversation with her 2 days ago, which I thought, oh, let's just play that on Saturday and give everybody a nice half hour. The coach said that it is this young woman's dream to, you want to fill in the blank? What would you guess her greatest ambition is? What's her life's goal? What does she really want to do someday? Be in the Olympics is not it.
Be on Good Morning America.
You're close, but it's not that. But it's be on a TV show.
It's Saturday Night Live.
You'll hear that answer in about 25 minutes when the coach talks about Caitlin Ohashi. What a great story she is. And as I said a moment ago, we really needed it because we've not been served well this week by the president, the speaker of the House, or the press. The president and the speaker are resolute in their positions on that border wall spending. Then Nancy Pelosi said, let's not have a State of the Union address. It would just be better if we put it off. And then the president said, it would just be better if you didn't fly on a government trip so she doesn't get to go overseas now. Somewhere, someone needs to be warming up a kindergarten teacher to scold these people. I'm telling you guys, I could fix this whole government shutdown thing. We just walk Donald Trump into a room by the earlobe, and on the other hand, you've got Nancy Pelosi's earlobe, and you say, you just sit down right there. Has anybody ever been to a principal's office before? Stuff gets solved. You just march them two right in there, and you say, no, listen, you're not getting your wall. You got to give them more money. Now get out there. Or call your moms. And then it's solved. It's probably going to end that way. The president says at 2 o'clock this afternoon, 2 o'clock, right, our time, Don, he's going to make some sort of announcement.
That is correct. Yep, 1 Central.
CNN is saying that he will offer maybe some concessions, but he's still going to stand firm on his wall.
Yeah, that's what's expected. Yep.
BuzzFeed said that the Mueller investigation has Michael Cohen saying that the president told him to obstruct. And Twitter and the mainstream media just blew up about that. They were loving that. The twit pick of the day yesterday was someone saying, I'll bet the president wishes Nancy was overseas now. But the Mueller investigation is now saying that that BuzzFeed reporting was not accurate. So the Speaker of the House isn't serving us well. The president isn't. And it looks like the media has not been doing a great job this week either.
BuzzFeed letting us down.
You know, I don't know where to put BuzzFeed because they've been right about things before. You know what I think works against BuzzFeed is the name of the site.
Yeah, and their clickbait headlines. I think they invented the, you know, 23 images you have to see to believe kind of stuff that you see everywhere now.
One of my favorite internet jokes is somebody sitting at a interview for BuzzFeed, and it says, give us 10 reasons why we should hire you. And he says, I'll give you 13, and you won't believe number 7.
Exactly. Yep.
And number 7, by the way, is a picture of a really voluptuous woman. And when you get to number 7, she's not there. I don't know how many times I have seen the headline with that thing, and it's a really beautiful woman, or there's something like a truck that's about to go off a cliff, and I go, golly, I got to see that. So then I click through, and the truck is never there. The lady is never there. She was just in the ad to get me in, and I feel cheated.
Kim Kardashian said what? It works every time.
Yeah, it is. It's a carrot that will never stop being dangled.
And you know who's taken that bait? I'm sorry, is CNN. CNN, every time the president gives a speech, you watch, they'll do it today. He's going to speak from, is he at Mar-a-Lago or is he in Washington? He's in Washington, D.C., isn't he? He's going to stay there until this gets done. So the president's going to say stuff, and CNN will, as they have most of the time now, said the 22 most outrageous lines from the president's speech. And then one of their guys will do that story, and some of the lines will be outrageous, but by these days kind of predictable, and some of them won't, but they've got to justify the headline or that kind of reporting, so shame on them too. And all of that goes without even getting to the very complicated and difficult and painful decisions that were reached in Chicago this week. Jason Van Dyke's 81-month sentence and then 3 police officers acquitted. And all of those are a lot to digest. Mary Schmeek's column online today, I haven't seen the print edition, but it's probably there, says weary. That's the word for Chicago this week. We are weary watching these stories unfold and trying to process it. The Mincing Rascals is a weekly podcast we record here at WGN Radio on Thursdays. And the Rascals talked about the sentencing as well. You'll be able to hear part of that. Well, you'll be able to hear all of that right now if you just listen for the Mincing Rascals wherever you listen for podcasts. But we'll play back a tiny bit of that a little after 11 o'clock. And Eric Zorn was absolute in his incredulity. He cannot believe that those officers got acquitted. And we'll give you a chance to sound off on that a little later on today as well. We'll give you a chance to sound off on that in the 11 o'clock hour. By the way, RL, do we have the audio of the Iridium Life 9000 commercial? And can we play that from your end? I think we can. Give me a thumbs up if you're ready to go with that. I mean, there's this product that you can get at the Oscos and the Jewels. And it is a it's a medication that you can take in case you're suffering from too much politics.
When I wake up, I say, today's going to be a good day. But it's not. The Bears are out. The government is shut down. My cat joined a gang.
A lot of people are having a hard time these days.
The FBI is looking into the president, and the president calls them scoundrels. I'm so stressed.
And that's called politosis, an illness caused by too much political talk.
I went to Starbucks and accidentally ordered a coffee.
That's not good.
The barista asked if I'd like collusion and sugar with that, and everyone laughed. What can I do?
You can try Iridium Life 9000.
Iridium. Is he one of the Russians?
Iridium is an all-natural wonder drug made by an ethnically blended group of scientists wearing white lab coats in New Jersey.
I have dizzy spells.
It will tackle that.
My hair is falling out.
We'll kick that through the goalposts.
I've got achy aches, chapped lips, my carburetor won't carb and my pistons won't...
Take Iridium Life 9000 as a liquid, pill, gel cap, eye drop, nasal mist, ear burst, time-release arm patch, ointment, smokable powder, and announcing our all-new home epidural kit.
Wow.
Plus, we're working on a thing with electricity, but don't try that yet.
I've had an upset stomach lately.
That could be a case of Putin.
I'll sure be Vlad if you can fix that.
Duh. Pick up Iridium Life 9000 wherever you buy Iridium. Roosevelt wanted to say something. You're on WGN Radio. Let's see if the phones are working here today. Hey, Roosevelt, are you there?
Good morning, John. How you doing? Thank you for taking my call. How you doing today?
Good. What's on your mind?
I just wanted to make a quick comment. As far as Pelosi and Trump, well, somebody's got to play the role of the adult. And if we remember, he said that Mexico would pay for the wall. Then he agreed that he was going to sign right before Christmas. He was going to sign the budget.
Yeah.
And he went back on his word. Doesn't that sound like a child? I mean, a child playing daddy against mommy and says, daddy said he was going to buy me the toy, and mommy says no. So, and by the way, John, I have family in Mexico that my cousin is a rancher. He knows ranchers in Texas. He says there's Republican ranchers that will never let that wall go up because they don't want it on their land. And, they're going to tie it up in courts for years. That's the message I got from my cousin.
Yeah.
So this wall business, and by the way, John, I know I'm jumping all over, but it's all the same subject. There was a article in the Washington Post that they just found a tunnel. And I believe the president was there in McAllen or, no, maybe not McAllen, one of those small towns in Texas. And the border security was telling them that, you know, that there are tunnels. So this wall is useless.
Yeah, I you know, I'm almost past the conversation about should we or should we not build a wall, will or won't it work. I mean, I know that's still out there, but the stumbling block today is the $5 billion versus the $1.2 billion.
Yeah.
And I know people that have $3 billion. It's not about the wall, and it's not about the efficacy of the wall. It's about the stubbornness of the two sides. In fact, we were talking off the air. Oh, Roosevelt, I appreciate your phone call. I haven't been able to play commercials. They're waving to me on the other side of the glass now saying I finally can. So thank you for getting in on this conversation, and I appreciate you joining us. But, you know, one of the conversations we were having off the air today, and you can answer this amongst yourselves. Maybe you have a cat. What if Donald Trump or Nancy Pelosi stepped up and said, okay, 4 weeks is enough, and I'm going to acquiesce, we'll put it on the floor, or we'll fund the wall. Or the president could say, all right, 4 weeks is too much, and I'll give up on the wall for now, but only for now. I'm going to come back to it. You know, what if he stepped up and gave in? Would the American public regard the person who compromises right now, Would we regard that person as weak? They gave up. They blinked. Or would we regard them as the hero? I mean, we all know how the two sides feel. But isn't it nice that one of them stepped up and said, okay, I'm the adult in the room. The Democrats have no interest in that. And the president doesn't either. And I'm just wondering if we are right now in a place where we're like, we know, you made your point, you made your point. You guys could hold your breath till kingdom come. But how about one of you blinks for us? Would that be a good thing? Would we say thank you? Or would we say, oh, we caved? And that's where that conversation is today. The president's going to talk at 2 o'clock. Stay tuned. It's 1025. This is WGN. I'm pointing to Ariel. There's a man with a red beard and a hat on backwards who's looking pretty ticked, and he's now walking over to me here. You don't want me to hit this button here, do you? Mm-hmm. All right.
At least we hit the three, the rule of three, which is the comedy must, you know? So at least there's that.
Yeah, really, you think this time it was really fun? Is that what you're saying, Don?
I do, yeah.
This
I
time.
I chuckle.
Yeah, I hope your newscast goes well, my friend. Because hey, Joe,
yeah,
if three times he goes to play a soundbite in the news and it doesn't happen, the third time...
It's hysterical.
That's the funny one.
I hope we enjoy Don's newscast, too, because he's probably going to have to say it two or three times.
Yeah, if you don't mind, Don, take 10, 15 minutes with that news, because I can't play commercials here, and I'm very limited in what I can accomplish.
Sure. I'm going to read all the snowfall totals for the entire state of Illinois, just back to front.
Are you still at 13.5? Is that the highest total you see?
So far, yeah, that is the highest one.
Still snowing downtown Chicago. It's coming pretty much sideways through the canyons of steel, but it's a fine snow as it just keeps coming and coming and coming.
Don and I were saying it's one of those days where you can't look up when you walk.
Yeah, I know.
You have to have your head down.
I thought that very thing as I was strolling from the L today. That's the music from that UCLA gymnastics meet that young lady burst onto the scene for some of us. We'll talk about that here in just a second. By the way, you know, I don't know if you guys agree with me on this, but this weather today, to me, would have been perfect for the Winter Classic.
That would be cool.
Yeah, man.
13 inches of blowing snow coming down on an outdoor professional hockey game.
Yeah.
I'm sure the players wouldn't have loved it, and maybe the people in the stands would have been mixed, but...
It's entertainment.
I think that would have just been another layer to what was actually a really fun event. The Blackhawks lost the Winter Classic at Notre Dame this year, but don't you guys just love that thing? I just thought it was terrific. This is all a little dated, but I was just thinking about it because I'm sporting a pretty awesome Blackhawks Winter Classic jersey.
That is accurate. It's a black jersey. It's pretty cool.
So it's kind of like it was on the day because you're wearing the jersey. But actually, Andy and I were talking about it before that game, how, you know, the Blackhawks have done it so often that it might seem like it gets watered down. But once the day comes, there's so much excitement going on, and you want to watch it. But you know what? When it snows this much, it actually makes it difficult to maintain the ice, I'm pretty sure.
Oh, yeah, right. I think visibility and ice maintenance and, you know, the skates probably sticking. So it's not good for them.
What if they just made like a clear plastic bubble over the ice? Like
the game?
Yeah, like the bubble hockey game, and they could just skate around in there?
That would be pretty cool. Imagine if there was like a fog bowl incident for the Winter Classic. The whole event is to go and watch it, and you can't.
All right, it's 10:42 on WGN Radio. So back to gymnastics. We posted again on my Facebook page. It's pinned to the top of my feed, in fact. And that is the video of this young woman. She is a senior at UCLA, and Caitlin does one of those running, tumbling passes that you remember from the Olympics. But without all of the tension, she makes every pass. And you get the feeling as she does it that she knows she's going to do it. She's that good, and it just seems so fun. She's got a lovely face, and she's so joyful and athletic. And the things she's doing just blow your mind, including at the very end, where she goes about 73 feet in the air and then lands in the splits. So I called the coach to ask her after 100 million views if she would tell us a little bit about this young lady and UCLA's women's gymnastics team.
Well, we're seven-time national champions. We're reigning national champions. Yeah, and I've never done gymnastics, so that's really fun.
How is it that you're the coach if you've never done gymnastics?
I was I'm a dancer by trade, ballet, choreographer, and in 1982, UCLA gave me a full scholarship to be their dance coach. And then I graduated, and a few years after that, they called me in the office, and they said, we want you to be our new head coach. And I said, you know, I don't know the first thing about gymnastics. And they said, well, we like the relationship you have with the student-athletes. You're tough, but you're compassionate, and we trust you'll figure the rest out. And that was 29 years ago, so I guess I'm doing something right.
I couldn't help but notice how many dance elements there seem to be in her open floor routine. Is that true, and is that a trend?
Oh, absolutely. It's extremely hard, her routine, even though it's really fun and very joyful, and that's what, you know, the catchphrase is with people. When they watch it, they say she just exudes joy, and she makes people feel joyful. But when you watch it, the dance is really intricate, and the tumbling is extremely intricate. So it is a very high-level competitive gymnastics floor routine that she makes look easy and fun.
Tell me a little bit about her. Where's she from? How long has she been at UCLA?
She is originally from Seattle. She moved to Texas to train when she was 11 or 12 years old. She was slated as one of, if not the best gymnast in the world. She trained and competed and won the American Cup when she was, I believe, 14 or 15. She retired from elite gymnastics after that. Everybody had her on track for the 2016 Olympics, and she called me up and just said, hi, Miss Val, it's Caitlin Ohashi, and I just don't want to do elite anymore, and I want to come to UCLA. And, of course, I was shocked, because here's the best gymnast in the world, A, calling me, and B, telling me she's not going to train for the Olympics. And I just asked her, why? You know, you're at your height, you're at your peak, why now? And she said, I don't enjoy it. I've just lost my love for doing gymnastics. And so she came to UCLA. That was 3.5 years ago. She's in her senior year here. And her freshman year, she was about 60% of her ability. She got out of physical shape to be a top-level gymnast. And she just said, I just don't want to be great again. And when she explained it, she just said, you know, I've never associated anything positive with being great. And so I knew at that point that she was a freshman, that in order for me to help her turn her life around, I would really have to earn her trust. And it was going to take a long time. And it took about 1.5 years. And ever since then, I've just been able to watch this beautiful flower bloom.
It's hard to imagine that she would say those things, because you're right, joy and competence are two words that come to mind. You think she's the best in the world and loves doing it. Those two weren't always together, huh?
No. And I think too often in our country that we feel that we need to take the joy out of learning, whether it's sports or academics and STEM. You know, it's like if you're enjoying it, then you're not taking it seriously enough. And I feel the exact opposite. I feel that when you bring joy into the equation, then you're basically sprinkling the secret sauce over all your hard work.
Yeah.
And that's what brings out the magic, that when you focus on the person before the athlete, you actually get a better result.
Where is Caitlin in her career then?
Caitlin has 3 more months, and then she will have exhausted her NCAA eligibility. And her dream is to go on Dancing with the Stars.
She doesn't want to be in the Olympics?
No. Uh-uh.
Would you talk about her ability relative to Olympic gymnasts?
Well, she's certainly talented enough, and she certainly has the mental game to be able to do it. But the sport, when you're doing it in training for 8 hours a day, since she was 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, until she quit elite, it does take its toll on the body. And she has found so much joy through all of this that she doesn't have anything left to prove gymnastically. She wants to take everything she's learned now and put it into her passions. One of them is, like, she has dreamt about being on Dancing with the Stars for 4 years. And she also has a real strong passion for very serious social issues such as body shaming and abusive situations, relationships, homelessness, stuff like that. And she's never been homeless, but she certainly has had quite a bit of body shaming. I mean, she went viral. She's, you know, she's the darling of the world right now in gymnastics. And there are still people on social media just the last day that are making fun of her body. And it's like, well, you know, I don't understand why people feel the need to be mean, but she's lived through that. She's lived through abusive relationships. And she's got a very strong voice. She does open mic work. She writes incredible prose and poetry.
What is she studying at UCLA?
She is gender studies.
This is a question for her, but maybe you can answer it. So looking at the career arc she's had, because all of us thought, why don't I know that young lady? Why isn't she in the Olympics? But she would say no regrets about her choice.
Absolutely
to...
no regrets. Yeah. And she's the last, I think the only person that has beat Simone Biles.
Well, is she as good on the other elements as she is on the floor? What are her strengths and weaknesses as a gymnast?
She's just as good on balance beam. She's not as good on bars and vault because her shoulders are pretty beat up. And so if we had her train bars and vault, it would compromise the work she does on beam and floor.
Let's just quickly talk about that routine and also the reaction from her teammates, which is not a small part of that video. And it's just so wonderful how it was captured. But just walk me through briefly that routine of hers. It's one she's done before.
Her routine is ridiculously hard. I mean, she did a first tumbling pass that I don't think another woman in gymnastics in the world does. Simone Biles obviously could, but it's not just a double flip in a straight body position, but she splits the first flip. So that's really hard. She learned it this year, which is another tribute to her determination. And then she goes right back with her second pass, which has multiple flipping and twisting, bouncing elements to it. There's not another athlete in our gym that could do that. We have two gold medal Olympians in our gym right now on our team. They couldn't do that pass. And then her last pass is just as difficult. So the whole thing is jam-packed. It's a tribute to her preparation with this, that she's so confident mentally with it that she can release herself and have fun.
Yeah, she sure seems like she knows she's going to stick it, and she's able to smile, relax, and enjoy it. And at the end of that final pass where she goes way up in the air and then lands in the split. You know, they ought to do a video of people watching that for the first time.
I know. Whenever she does her routine, I watch people in the audience instead of watching her, because the reactions are just priceless.
It's amazing. And so then her teammates along the side are cheering and clapping and snapping and dancing to it, and they're so there for her. And I thought, is this typical?
It is typical. And it's the same way with all of our athletes when they're on an event. It doesn't matter which apparatus, vault, bars, beam, or floor. We don't have a social status in our gym. There's no hierarchy. That's the word I was looking for, in our gym. There's no jealousy amongst our student athletes. There's no girl nonsense going on, which is really a tribute to them and how much they love their team. Because we've got 20 girls on our team between the ages of 18 and 22.
Are the other
Caitlin
girls?
Has had to come in every day this week and do training just like everybody else has to.
No, she has to go do TV talk shows and be an international celebrity for 15 minutes. Could the other girls do a floor routine? Maybe not that one, maybe not like that. Do they have amazing floor routines too? And do the other women on the team then cheer them on when they're doing their routines?
Oh, yes. They don't think of it as Caitlin's routine or Kyla Ross's routine or someone else on the team. They think it's their routine, and they just are on the side doing it while the other person gets to be on the floor doing it. Yeah. But we're known for our floor routines, and it's kind of sad that, you know, the rest of the team is in Caitlin's shadow at this moment on floor, because they are just as spectacular. I mean, we've had consistently really high scores on floor. And there will be other student athletes that get 10s on floor this year. And 10s on Kyla Ross got a 10 on bars this weekend. But she's not getting the notoriety that Caitlin is, because it's floor. It's fun.
Yeah.
People like to dance. We had Caitlin went viral last year to over 100 million views with her floor routine. And we've had two other athletes before her. So the last 4 years, we've had someone go viral. And a lot of people have asked me what the commonality is, why those routines. And it's because the music choice is well known and the choreography is very relatable. It's not high-end, highbrow gymnastics dance. It's dance that you see in music videos and that you can do in your living room. I believe the reason why worldwide people are embracing this is because they can relate to it.
And is the choreography or the scoring or the style and attitude of collegiate gymnastics different than Olympic gymnastics then?
Yes, very much so.
Yeah, I noticed that. I mean, this looks like more fun. It looks less...
Yeah, all sports are entertainment. We are vying for the entertainment dollar, especially in a place like Los Angeles, where I want you to spend your money coming to a gymnastics meet than going to a professional football game or basketball game, seeing the Lakers, or going to a movie.
How are the crowds?
Ridiculous. We're averaging 9,000 people.
Wow.
Last year, we sold out Pauley, over 13,000 people. We have our next home meet on Monday at 2 o'clock, and we just know that we're going to be at capacity.
That's Valerie Condos-Field. She's the UCLA women's gymnastics coach, talking about Caitlin Ohashi, who's 10, kind of rocked the world, and we could have used it this week, right? If you want to see the video that she and I were talking about, it's on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John. Snow's going to go, and the cold is going to come, and it's going to be here for a while. It's 11:14. Good morning. This is John Williams. We're in the Allstate Skyline studio. I have to laugh, and it's just me, but when the president says he has a major announcement, not just an announcement, nothing is small by this president's standards, when he makes an announcement. And by the way, if you're the president of the United States and you order a ham and cheese sandwich, that's major ham and cheese news. But still, the president feels like he has to remind you that not only does he have an announcement today about the topic everybody is wondering and worrying about, but it'll be a major announcement. And when he says major, I have to think of...
He won a major award. He won a major award.
I don't know, that song comes to my mind. A major award. I want him to come out with the leg lamp from The Christmas Story and say, this lamp. So the president's major announcement, maybe he'll be given a major award, will take place at 2 o'clock our time this afternoon. The Mincing Rascals judged the best podcast in the city of Chicago this year. Includes Eric Zorn, Tribune columnist, and Scott Stantis, editorial cartoonist from WGN Radio, are Patty Vasquez and Steve Bertram. The gang and I were on Thursday talking a little bit of politics. People are not tolerant of the Pence's religious beliefs. Or is it that the Pence's aren't sufficiently tolerant of the LGBTQ community? It was there that Steve Bertram picked it up.
I also think, and been thinking of this, I think we are near a time when anti-gay discrimination, anti-gay policies will be looked at like anti-segregation policies segregation policies in the 50s and 40s and 30s. I mean, I think we're going to be at a time, maybe a decade, maybe 20 years from now, when we look back and say, can you believe they did that?
I'm there already, man.
Well, I know you are.
Sure.
I know you are. I am too. But I'm saying as a country, we're going to look back and say, Can you believe they really did that?
I hope so.
Does Nancy Pelosi have the right to, well, I guess she does. I mean,
she has the power.
It's congressional consent to invite the president to address them. It's the House and the Senate. And she reminds the world in the letter to the president, it was so charming, that Trojan horse she rolled into the White House this week. But she said that this is done as a sort of consideration by the president. In the past, it was done in writing. It doesn't have to be a big ceremony. And doggone it, we just don't think it's fair to charge the people who are charged with securing the safety of all of these people to ask them to work this event. The government is strapped right now. Should the president have a State of the Union address?
Scott had a twitch going over there.
Yeah, sorry. No, you can't. She has, just to be clear, the letter goes on to express the historic context, but she doesn't have the right to say the president cannot have a State of the Union. In fact, it's in the Constitution. He or she has to,
from time to time, give to the Congress information of the State of the Union.
It's her house, right? Yeah. I mean, that's where she has the power. She's the one who issues the invitation.
I think that sends such a petty... I mean,
it's
playing to his...
Okay, so it's a lot of things. It is petty. What else is it?
It's brilliant. I love it. I love this. First of all, I hate the State of the Union. I've always hated it. I hate it when Barack Obama did it. I hate it when Trump did it. I hate it when Bush did it. I hate it when Clinton did it. It is a preposterous political...
Here, as we sit, President Trump today talked about missile defense. And he's going to include or increase missile defense. That's usually the sort of impossible space issue that comes up during a State of the Union address.
Right.
Yeah, George Bush was going to go to Mars, right?
They're ludicrous events, and I think if Pelosi torpedoes it forever, if it becomes this thing that it never happens unless there's the Speaker of the House and the President of the same party, even then I would like to see it go away. I think it's good that she's doing this. I think the message she's sending is you're not acting presidential here. You're not doing your job as president, so we're not going to come in and clap for you and stand up and put on this big dog and pony show for the whole nation. You can give us your State of the Union speech from the Oval Office if you want, or you can go in the well.
He's still
going
to talk that day.
Sure.
Yeah, he's going to, but I think this reminder of all the norms that he has broken, all the norms he's broken in his 2 years here. So this one norm Nancy Pelosi decides to break, fine, great. I'm thrilled. I hope they don't have the State of the Union.
Well, I actually agree with Eric on this one, and to the extent that watching it is torture. To watch to see these grown-ups stand up and down when they applaud is juvenile. What are you? This is elementary school.
It's petty. It's brilliant. It is.
Not the same since Jesse Jackson Jr. wasn't there to greet the president.
Oh, God, that's right. Really? Jesse about leaped over people to try and
he would always get there the day before so he could.
A lot of people.
What's Patty's adjective?
I thought it was well done, I guess. I think it was elegantly
well played
done.
On her part, you mean? This whole notion?
I think to redo it, I wouldn't have played on security. I mean, it wasn't about security. Maybe she should have found a different route than that.
This year would have been really hard to watch. But, because you're right, I agree with you guys that the one side stands up, and if you have mixed parties behind the president, then it's always looking at their faces. It's a bizarre visual. But the rhetoric can be aspirational. I like the idea of the president. When it goes well, any president, it's been terrific to hear who we are and what we can be, even though one side doesn't want to clap as much.
John, you're thinking of Michael Douglas in The American President. It doesn't happen in real life.
America isn't easy. America is advanced citizenship. You've got to want it bad, because it's going to put up a fight.
I don't know. I think you go back and listen to some of those speeches, and you'll find paragraphs in there that you thought, let's be the best man we can be.
I think the letter is better than somebody heckling President Obama when he did his speech.
The reforms I'm proposing would not apply to those who are here illegal.
I mean,
that guy was in trouble afterwards with his wife. Okay, speaking of being the best man you can be, Gillette has run an ad.
We believe in the best in men.
Men need to hold other men accountable.
But some is not enough. Because the boys watching today will be the men of tomorrow.
Eric, what's your problem with this commercial?
I don't have a problem with it at all. I love it. I love this ad, and I am amused beyond belief at the conservative men who have taken such umbrage at this, these bro flakes, as people are calling them, who feel like just this call for decency, like don't be a bully, don't grab women's, don't condescend to them, be kind. And this is a message that is just infuriating the right, and I can't believe it.
I don't like it that much. I like the message. I thought the presentation was pretty amateurish, frankly.
It was the presentation of an important message was late and not well executed.
Eric, I'm sorry. Maybe what am I, a bro flake or a?
I don't think you're. You didn't sound like you're.
Oh no,
really offended
say it to my
it.
Face now. Yeah, no, I'm not offended by it.
No, if you're offended by it, then I'd say it to your face.
I'm offended-ish by it. I don't like the fact that they do seem to implicate a vast majority of, and like they seem to indicate that's typical of men.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
Boys will be boys.
I thought it was really silly when after the epiphany, the dad goes out and tells his six-year-old fighting sons to, we don't settle our things like that. I thought that was just silly. I mean, I didn't raise my kid that way. I don't think most dads raise their kids saying, go take it to the backyard.
A lot of dads do. A lot of men treat women really badly. Bullying is a huge problem. It's a bigger problem, I think, than it has been before. And I think that the general message of that ad is like, hey, be kind. Settle your differences. Be respectful of women.
I love the message. I'm 100% behind the cause ad and all of that. I just don't think it was very well done.
Well, I also think it's a hard pendulum swing backwards, right? Because for decades, women have watched boobs and butts be used to make us feel like we don't add up. That we're
by
not
Gillette
good
sometimes too. By
yeah,
the way,
about how you can get pretty much get laid if you use their razors.
By the way, that's not
Sorry.
True.
No. Steve and I we've conducted the experiment.
Did I cross the line?
Did you think that they overplayed their hand, that they so characterized men that way?
There's this weird moment where you're watching a big corporation use feminism to sell a product that is uncomfortable. I didn't think it was that well executed. I do think it's sort of this over and over again, you know, be better kind of a situation. I think it's fine. I like the message. I'm not sure if it's a Super Bowl commercial. I wonder if they leaked it early, knowing that it would be better to do it now than to actually have it run during
the
Super Bowl.
Well, the online one's 1:43 long or something like that. It's almost 2 minutes. So I haven't seen the 29-second version of it, which would be interesting to see. Maybe it wouldn't be as heavy-handed.
I think the conversation is great to have, and I think that if you look at a lot of the online responses, I mean, there's some really disgusting stuff out there. And
it's getting more thumbs down than thumbs up.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, if people are upset about it, I mean, I think it says more, the ones that are getting really angry. I mean, I get not liking the message or that it's a bit broad, but I think that the people who are getting really upset. Yeah. Okay. Wide-ranging.
Shut up, Eric. Go ahead, Patty.
I just tend to think that a lot of men kind of are proving the point of the commercial and being jerks online.
I'm not offended by it. I just think it was ham-handed. I thought it was generalized. It actually stereotyped a lot of men who are just the dude at the barbecue telling his kids to go ahead and beat the crap out of each other.
Want the last hot dog? Beat the kid up.
And ultimately what my cartoon says, I don't want a life lesson for my razor. I just want to shave. I just want them to tell me that, you know, it's going to be really good blades. It's going to cut my hair on my face without shredding it.
Scott Standis, this cartoon is the world-weary man looking into the mirror with the shaving cream, and he's like...
His razor is like saying all this stuff.
All this chatter about his behavior.
You know, stereotype all men, by the way. I mean, the heroes
elevates the ones that stand
up. But the heroes in the commercial are men. The men who stop the guy from pursuing a woman. The guy who pulls the kids off the.
But the language, boy. Eric. The language was some men understand.
It's endemic in the culture. We've had a problem for a long time, and we have looked away. And all of a sudden, it's exploded on us. So I have room for mistakes in this conversation.
And I think if the reaction is more negative than positive, that could be positive. I mean, right? Because people should be unsettled by things that challenge them.
I also want to point out that this isn't Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail. It's a commercial to sell you razors.
Well, I think they got stuff wrong in it anyway. I don't think the language sounds right that are coming out of the lips of the actors in this thing. And the scene where the dad at the barbecue pulls the two kids that are fighting on the lawn.
That's not how we treat each other, okay?
You know, that's the thing I got the most pushback about on my show. A lot of parents said, wait a minute, I teach my daughter, if someone's fighting you or punching you, you punch back. And I've heard that from parents about their sons as well. I don't know that the 10-year-olds rolling on the grass punching each other, and it's their brother or their buddy, is a terrible part of the human experience at that age.
But wasn't it also the other dad standing around kind of laughing about it and goading him on? There's one dad that said, if we're talking about that one particular element of the commercial.
Yeah, I think that was conflating things. Yeah. I think what those kids were doing needs to be managed. The thing, too, is that some of these campaigns have gone really well. Remember when Dove did one Always did one where they talked to women about their self-image? Run Like a Girl was a good campaign.
My name is Dakota, and I'm 10 years old.
Show me what it looks like to run like a girl. What does it mean to you when I say run like a girl?
It means run fast as you can.
I think some of the Nike social image advertising has been good. And by the way, they had a great year on the heels of Colin Kaepernick, It can be done well. Pepsi completely screwed it up when they asked Kendall Jenner to sort of, interfere in a police line with a can of Pepsi and then the unrest goes away. That was a bizarre ad, and it didn't work. This one's in between. And the more I think about it, Steve, the more I'm coming around to your side on this one.
As with everything.
Okay, so that's Eric, last thought about that.
Bertrand, you and Bertrand are wrong.
Again, as with everything.
That's the Mincing Rascals. Steve Bertrand, Eric Zorn, Scott Standis, our own Patty Vasquez, too. The Mincing Rascals judged the best podcast in the city of Chicago this year. You can hear it all wherever you listen to podcasts. The Mincing Rascals, we post it on my Facebook page. You can also listen to it at WGNradio.com. Thank you, Don. John Williams in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are here until noon. Amy Guth will come in and entertain and inform you in about 20 minutes. By the way, You heard a commercial a moment ago from Steve Bertrand Travel for that trip that I'm leading with my wife Brenda to London and then to Scotland. I think the 21st, it's not the last day to sign up, but Monday will be the last day to get a guarantee of the best rate for you. If you've thought at all about maybe having a nice little carrot to get you through the winter, and it would be a wonderful springtime trip with us to England, and we'll go to London, take the train up to Scotland afterwards, you should call Steve. That number is 847-606-6065, or visit SteveBertrandTravel.com. 847-606-6065. Friend of mine, Ron Cox, is listening to us in Hawaii right now. Sent a picture of him swimming with whales. In fact, he sent me some lovely video. It looks great in Hawaii, Ron. In Chicago, not so much. We've got, well, depending on where you are, half a foot, maybe double that of snow, and some dicey travel conditions, too. Ricky Castro's on the line, meteorologist with the National Weather Service here in Chicago. Hey, Ricky, it's John Williams. How are you today?
Good. How are you? Thanks for having us. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, you betcha. What's the, so I said half a foot to a foot. Is that about right? Is that what you're seeing?
The highest report I've seen is some places in the north and northwest suburbs, McHenry County and the city of McHenry had 10 inches as of a few hours ago. Seen a lot of reports of along and north of I-88 of 6-plus inches, so it's kind of in that 6 to 10-inch range. Kind of more in the 4 to 6-inch range south of there. So,
what's the official number? What is it at O'Hare today?
O'Hare, we'll be getting a new measurement at just in a little bit here. They had just under 4 inches at 6 a.m., 3.9, so we'd expect that we'll add at least a little bit when we get the new report, and we'll also get some reports out of here at our office in the southwest burbs in Romeoville, and also Midway. We should get a reading from there, too. So,
how much more snow is in this system in the area?
The system snow is winding down, except for the south suburbs are getting some accumulating snow and into northwest Indiana right now. The next thing, attention that we're focusing on is lake effect snow showers. It's going to be probably light lake effect snow showers affecting a good chunk of the metro during this afternoon, but probably not going to be of the accumulating variety, just going to be snow in the air. So wouldn't really expect a full stop at any given point of snow falling. And then later this evening is when we're more concerned that there could be accumulating lake effect snow affecting portions of the metro. That could include Lake County, Cook, Will, and DuPage, and then more likely swinging into northwest Indiana during the morning tomorrow. And there could be, with accumulating snow likely there. We're thinking where the most persistent snow is set up on the order of 2 to 5 inch amounts. That's not going to be uniform as it lake effect. It's never uniform. But that's what we would expect. Wherever the most persistent snow sets up, could see max amounts up to 5 inches. Main question for Illinois is how quickly the band moves. But then it looks like it could set up a little bit longer into Indiana during tomorrow morning.
Yeah, okay. So if you're heading east, you're going to stay with this. If you are staying put or going west, it sounds like the worst of it will have passed, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's how things look right now. That can still change. Lake effect is pretty fickle like that, but I'd say the good news is that the prime time for northeastern Illinois looks like it's going to be when there's going to be less people out on the roadways. More likely swinging into Indiana probably sometime after 6 a.m. tomorrow.
Okay, so still 24 hours, though, of opportunity for you to have to deal with some of this coming down, especially if you are in northeast or northwest Indiana. A couple of questions and comments. If you've got one, 312-981-7200. This is WGN. And Dave from Brookfield had a question. Hey, Dave, it's John. You're on the air.
On the air. Yeah, good morning. I guess this isn't 67, but when we had 50 degrees in January, now we're getting our snow, but it's not 2.5 feet of snow. Just saying the other thing, this morning, I know there's nurses at Loyola. I drove my daughters there this morning at 6 o'clock. It took me half an hour to go 2 miles.
Where are you running into it? What was the worst of that? What was the problem?
Well, the side streets only had a path, and then you get on the 17th there, and it just, you know, they touched it, and that was it. It just kept blowing. Right now I'm on 17th going back to pick somebody else up, and it's down to the cement, but the side streets still, obviously, you know, it just keeps blowing. It's that the whiteout, the wind picks it up, and you can see it's snowing it back.
Yeah, the wind is probably an issue, huh? Good luck to you. Thanks for the call on that, Dave. Yeah, Ricky, is the wind going to make it difficult to see if you're driving?
Yeah, especially on open areas. Seeing some blowing snow out here where we are down in the southwest burbs. We are in a really open area where our office is, and there's definitely some blowing snow on some of the side roads. Some of the other main roads, they've done a good job clearing those out. So there's going to be variability in your travel conditions. The winds are still gusting to 25 to 30 plus miles per hour, so would expect areas where snow could blow across the road and briefly knock visibility down a little bit, down to under a mile at times. So something to keep in mind. And then patches of snow on the road, could be down to blacktop and then have a patch of snow. So definitely urge just driving with reduced speed.
You know what I think is going to happen? Maybe you can comment on this, but it's been warm enough and the salt's been out enough that I can see some of the roads, especially the more traveled ones, will be clear enough or wet enough that you'll get by. But then it's going to get really cold, and I think we're going to get the opportunity for some ice to form on sidewalks and streets that we really have not been much used to this winter. Just talk briefly, Ricky, and then I'll let you go about how cold it's going to get later this week.
Our first shot of cold is moving in already. Places out in northwestern Illinois already down in the teens. We're expecting lows tonight in the single digits in the suburbs and the teens in the city. Wind chills varying from the zero to single digits in the city, and then as low as 10 to 15 below out in the suburbs. Our real shot of cold air is probably going to come later next week, when we could be dealing sometime later next week into the weekend, we could be dealing with sub-zero low temperatures area-wide and much colder wind chills than that. So this is kind of just the appetizer for that. The other thing we're concerned about, one briefly mentioned, was coming up on during the day on Tuesday and possibly Tuesday night and Wednesday is some wintry mix. It's still a little bit early for any specifics on that, but coming out of the cold weather we had the past few days, there's going to be a warmer system moving in, but it doesn't look like at this point that's just going to be plain rain. There could be some icy issues, sleet, snow, even in some parts of the metro. So something to keep in mind and keep up to date with the latest forecasts on that.
Yeah, it's weird. It's kind of like January. We've been spoiled for a while, but welcome to Chicago.
Yeah, and it's looking like it's going to stay generally colder for quite a while after that. So everybody that was like, wow, is this winter ever going to come? Well, it has finally arrived.
There's your soundbite. Nice to talk to you, Ricky Castro, meteorologist, National Weather Service. Thanks for your time this morning. We appreciate it.
Thank you, and you're very welcome.
Yeah, you have a good day. It's 11:47, so there's that. Hooray. Let's all do each other a favor, though. Wherever you are, give me your snow and road report. You've traveled on it. If it's okay, I think that's good information to know. If it's not, I think that's good information to know. Now, Don's been reading the maps and the wires here, but sometimes firsthand accounts are just as helpful. 312-981-7200. How is it out there? This is WGN. 312-981-7200 if you want to share some information about what you're experiencing out there. By the way, you will also tomorrow night be experiencing, if the weather permits, the Super Blood Wolf Moon. The Super Blood Wolf Moon will be the first total lunar eclipse in more than 3 years, visible in South America and North America. You're in North America. And a super blood wolf moon is what you get when astronomers take drugs, I think. They had to call it something. And so one said, hey, Kevin, what do we want to call this thing, man? And he said, I don't know, like a super blood wolf moon. And so that is what the lunar eclipse will be called. Because lunar eclipse, well, now that just doesn't get it done. Not in terms of awesome. Matthew, you're on WGN Radio. Where are you driving, Matthew? You're on the air.
Awesome. I am from Lake Geneva. I'm driving down to Louisville, Kentucky for college. And I am northwest of Lafayette.
Northwest of Lafayette. Okay, so you're going south through the metro.
I'm going south.
What have you been running into?
Yep.
How's it been going?
So it's been good. Roads have been off and on. Up before Chicago, they were pretty bad. But once it got past Chicago, they were pretty well covered, even into Indianapolis.
Wait a minute. Well covered. You mean covered with snow or well plowed?
No, well plowed. Sorry.
Yeah, fair enough.
And then into not Indianapolis. I'm still outside 75 miles from Indianapolis. But as soon as I got into Indiana, they were still pretty good. And then the left lane started to be covered with snow. But the slow lane on the right was totally fine. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, traffic stopped. And I've been 0 miles per hour for over an hour.
Oh, wait, where are you sitting right now? On 65?
I'm still northwest of Lafayette.
Yeah, but I mean, what highway are you on?
I'm on 65.
Yeah, right. 65 north and south, up and down, in and out of Indianapolis. The snow blows across. There ain't nothing between the Rocky Mountains and Indianapolis.
Yeah.
You know, it just comes. And 65 can be a nightmare when there's some blowing snow like this. But when you were coming through the metro of Chicago, what were you? Did you take 294? Did you take the tri-state around?
I was going around it, yeah. I think I hopped onto 95. I'm not exactly sure all the freeways in there.
Yeah.
As soon as I got past the metro area, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So 94, I was probably averaging 65.
But you've been stopped southbound I-65 north of Indianapolis for an hour.
Yep, over an hour. 11:40 I've been sitting here.
Hmm.
So I don't know what's up there. I wasn't able to see it. A few people have gotten out of their cars and tried to see, but I'll just sit here until it's done. So do you guys have any information on a crash in that area?
Yeah, we're typing it up right now. Okay, keep listening, and thank you for the help on this. You have helped our listeners, and we'll try and help you out real quick, okay?
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
Yeah, appreciate the call. 217, John, 294 was a crazy mess this morning. Snow 3 to 4 inches deep. You couldn't see the lanes. Driving 35 miles an hour until about 10 miles northwest of I-57, where they had three plows running side by side. I love that, where they just get a couple of plows and they go, here we go, Jack. And then there's always somebody in a Volvo tailgating that caravan while backed up traffic was improving the roads, which backed up traffic, but they were improving the roads. I-57 was a mess to Kankakee. John, I drove from Naperville to DeKalb, so that would be west, probably on 88, huh? And had no problem whatsoever. Well, the east-west roads will be easier than the north-south ones. John, the local roads in Naperville are not too terrible, but it's when you get into the left turn lanes that it gets tricky. I've been noticing that. We're sitting in the Studio D here. It's a corner suite studio. We're 18 floors up, and I've been watching some of the cars make left turns on the city down below. Downtown Chicago, generally where I am, Columbus Avenue, looking at Michigan Avenue, those streets are busy enough and salted enough that if you're coming downtown Chicago, you shouldn't have any problems. But I don't have an answer for 65 southbound just yet. Don, why don't you look at that, and Ariel, you too. Let's see if we can find out what's... I guarantee you I know what's happened, and that is somebody slid... I don't know how many vehicles are involved. Traffic has been stopped. They're trying to get to it to tow it off. And the snow is hampering things. An hour they've been stopped on southbound I-65. Okay, it's 11:56 on WGN. Yeah, I don't have an answer on I-65. I'm looking at the Indiana State Police weather map or traffic map. And northwest of Indiana and heading on up towards I-80, there's Lafayette. And it's yellow north and southbound around Lafayette if you're going that direction. And then there's a black line just north and west for I don't know how long. It looks like a matter of miles. And that would be and it's in the southbound lane. That's exactly where our listener is sitting, and he's wondering what is in front of him. And I don't see a listing on that per se. So we'll just try and keep you posted. Bob Kessler's in the newsroom. Amy Guth just strolled into the studio, too. And I know we're Chicago, but we do have listeners going to and from northwest Indiana, and some of them down to Indianapolis. And if you're traveling along I-65, you're stuck. How was it for you? Did you drive? You don't drive in today, do you?
No, I'm all public transportation. So I walked in. I walked to the train station, though. My neighborhood was not plowed at all. So it was about, you know, mid-calf snow that I walked to the train in. And then once I get to the train, it's all pedway. So I'm good.
Oh, no kidding. Really? Yeah. What, did you take the pedway from Lake?
Yeah.
Are you on the red line? I took the red line today. I did.
I'm blue line, but I get in there from Washington or kind of the sneaky back way from Lake.
Do you ever do this? I walked into my train car today and just looked around and went, nope, not this one.
Yeah.
There was garbage. There was people in there who looked like They wanted something from me, and I thought, I'm not dealing with this now. So I walked out of that car. Now I better hurry up and get down to the next one before the train takes off. Then I was able to get in a cleaner, less stinky car. I like the L. I like the CTA. Generally, it works for me. It was a good solution today, that's for sure.
I mean, you know, it's sometimes you're like, I should just take a lift when it's really, you know, when it's really coming down or something. You're like, oh, it's so cold, I'm going to take a lift. No, I'm being responsible here. I'm going to take the public transportation.
Do you know, are the upcharges a lot now on Lyft and Uber when the weather is like this, the surge pricing? I heard that it's not as bad as it used to be.
Yeah, not as bad as it used to be at all. It used to be like a drop of rain and it would double. It would be a
That's
lot.
That's what I thought today. I thought, oh, it's going to cost a fortune.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's that way anymore. What are you doing today?
Well, today we are going to, in stark contrast to the weather, we're going to be talking a little bit about employers that are bringing in green spaces into their offices and workplaces and incorporating more outside inside for lots of different benefits. It certainly helps workers and it does have some, you know, data behind it about the mental benefits for workers. So we're all about that. We're going to be talking a little more about Sears. We've been talking about Sears for a couple of weeks now because it's really an interesting time for that brand. So we're keeping an eye on the timeline for them. And just because it's a brand that means so much to this area and we have so many things named, you know, that we're attached to. I think we were talking last week about how so many people still say Sears Tower, even though it's been the Willis for 10 years already. So we're talking a little bit more about Sears, but more the business side, more what is likely to happen. What, you know, there's one kind of loophole, there's one sort of last ditch effort that may be happening. So we're going to see if that is the case. And then also we're going to talk about driverless cars, because that's been like kind of a big push for a couple of years and people kind of just full steam ahead went there, but suddenly there's a little bit of caution. And I think that's interesting to kind of take a look at of why that caution and why now.
Speaking of corporate green spaces, did you see the Skidmore rendition for the O'Hare expansion includes prairie and trees inside the terminal,
inside
the airport there?
I know. I was impressed with just the couple of little columns over there that have the hydroponic things going on. I was like, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's up by the yoga room. That's cool.
Imagine that at an airport. Have a really good show, Amy.
Thanks so much. I think you've got the...
Oh, yeah. And here now you have it.
I know I have it. Great.